today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I say out loud, I can't believe that guy's in the hospitality business because all he does is disappoint.
That's true. Do you run into this at work?
No, I'm excellent at work.
Oh, what? Tell him to get me a goddamn breakfast sandwich and a hand-squeezed orange juice.
That was pretty much it.
Only everyone thinks she's sweet. She's a tyrant. Deb also spent $7,000 on Kim Kardashian's used furniture.
Ew. And $2.5 million on dry cleaning it.
Going to get it from a vending machine.
Again. The guy.
Shout out to Tokyo.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
First, I gotta know, what's the difference between no sugar and three sugars?
We are dealing with the lowest common denominator.
LCD.
Is it Homo sapien?
I think, yeah, that's
the word, right?
Let's give him all the best of it.
Human.
Sure.
Right?
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yay, Mike, 59 today.
Do it.
Yeah, getting it done. Still getting it done.
New kid.
Ice cream factory.
That's right.
Happiness.
Yeah, well, new kid.
Well, they're happy.
The kid is happy. Carla's happy.
Mike's,
right. You know what? This is his year.
If Mike was happy, the show wouldn't be the same.
No, if it would mm-hmm. be the
It'd
Bob
be
and
Bizarro Land.
It would be the Bob and Susan show or whatever.
Bob and Tom.
Well, Bob and Sherry.
Don't get happy.
That's his motto. Yeah, that's his deal. Okay, so happy birthday, Mike. But what about the sugar?
Just okay. Walking in the building.
It's
right?
So great. I spend the whole evening and the entire morning prepping, and this becomes our lead story right away.
Walking in the building.
Yeah.
I see Diego walking out, and he looks at me, double gun point, says, "Getting you a Red Bull." And I'm like, well, had kidney stones, probably don't need a Red Bull. That's to myself.
Right.
So I say, catch that man and tell him no Red Bull. I would like a latte with three sugars and a bar from across the street.
And before we even get to that, know that Adrian makes this run 3 minutes before the show.
He does.
He's been here all morning.
He does, right?
So he leaves the building and you catch him and you give him specific instructions.
And I say, I'll Venmo you the cash. Right, that's how we roll.
So it's
digital currency.
It's not just a throwaway conversation.
No, we're on the stoop of the building, and we rapped for a little bit about it. Right, we talked.
Right on, brother.
Yes, and I said, "All right, thanks, man." And he goes, "I got you, Oscar." Like real assertive,
sure,
real confident, real sure of himself. Yeah. Right, like he's the man about town. He's super producer Diego / Adrian, whatever he is on Twitter, Adrian, TMOS.
He's riding high on his bonus show appearance from last week.
Oh, my God. He murdered last week.
Yeah, what happens? The king of Bonnaroo with his child's tent.
What happens when you murder?
You get caught. That's right.
Yeah, but when you murder on air, there's always that letdown afterwards.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a curve.
You got to fight it.
Yeah, you can't stay there.
Can't all be the home runs.
Right.
We learned that today. When Diego came back upstairs with a coffee with no sugars, I was fine with that. I didn't really make a big deal about it. I liked how Rob makes him pay the price and say, go get his sugars. But he also didn't have
such a great moment.
Yes, it was.
You said, how many sugars are in this? You took a sip.
Well, because it tastes like black tar heroin.
And he said, no sugar, just like you said. And you just said, three sugars. Mm-hmm. I said, three sugars.
I said, no big deal, I'll drink it. Rob said, no. We got to teach him a lesson. He's got to go get the sugars.
This is why my dog is well behaved.
Right?
Right.
Mind you, all of this, if you're looking at this outside of the context we're in of the body of failure that we've had to carry around this radio station for this broadcast center for years now.
Yes.
Like a friggin' 100-pound potato sack bag that we're just over our shoulders carrying from state to state, from live show to live show. Yes. Without that context, I'm a monster. With the context, know that that man has failed us so many times.
Yes.
That it just was. I'm beaten down. You didn't seem to get upset. It was just,
no, no.
Okay.
I you know what I was? I was the guy that came in. I was your advocate.
You're the heavy.
I was. Well, thank you. Not as heavy as I used to be, but still yes. And but yeah, I advocated for you because you don't need to start your day stacked on disappointments.
Not a big deal. I know what I'm working with.
Yes, that's
as soon
true.
As I'm done giving the carrier pigeon that's blind the message that's supposed to go to the wall,
yes,
right, and he doesn't make it there.
What happened is you were playing Iron Chef, and they handed you a basket of really rotten ingredients.
Yes, I'm like, yeah,
it's like the cheese has gone bad.
I know what's gonna go. I can melt everything, see what happens.
Yeah,
right?
That's yeah. You hope for the best. Yes. You do the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
Then Rob's like, "Where is his bar?" And he's like, "Oh, the line was so long. Whatever that means." Because he was in Starbucks.
Yeah, he was still. I mean, he was in the line to get the coffee. He succeeded in screwing up the coffee. And he could have gotten the bar at that time.
So I was like, don't worry about the bar. And then Rob's like, no. You have to go get the bar.
Get the bar.
So he goes and gets the bar, right? Yeah.
And then he says, it's been a long morning also. The line is long. The morning is long.
It's always not his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and gets the bar and comes back with a bar that I've never even picked up with my hand before.
He says, they didn't have your favorite.
My favorite is oatmeal, boring oatmeal, or white macadamia, or peanut butter. I'll take any, you know what? I've eaten anything.
Yeah, all these Clif bars, yeah. These are all viable
options. I've never
options.
Seen peanut toffee buzz, whatever that is, right?
Oh.
And if you're on camera right now, this is what I think about this.
Oh, no.
All right? So, good day to watch YouTube. Poor ESPN's and Dominique's doing a national show, and I'm throwing Clif bars across the room.
I was nearly hit by a peanut toffee buzz.
Like, those guys are wild over there. That's why they're not on the radio, except for in two markets.
Morning zoo.
All right. So that's on the floor now.
Yes.
So I think I have this moment of clarity to myself.
Right.
And I say out loud, I can't believe that guy's in the hospitality business because all he does is disappoint.
That's true. Do you run into this at work?
No, I'm excellent at work.
Let me ask you this.
Tell him about your hot chocolate promotion.
Hold on a sec. Hold on. Hold on. What's the percentage in your mind? And don't use some crazy algorithm or math. Just give me a flat percentage.
Right.
Okay. Something simple. Of the times that people come back and say, hey, my key doesn't work.
All the time, but that's because it's their fault because they put their keys next to their phones, next to magnets or whatever they have in their wallet, and it demagnetizes them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could it be that between your huff-huff, pass-pass, puff-puff, give-give,
bubble-bubble, bubble-bubble.
Definitely don't give.
All of those, and again, you potheads out there, this is not an isolated incident. This is a track record of THC failure.
Yeah,
right?
If he was Facebook, he'd be trending right now. This is what he does.
Do you think when you're going through the process of magnetizing the card and programming it to the room, there have been times where you just forgot that process and just gave them the key inside that envelope and said, good luck, man?
No, because it's a reflex. It's, you know, muscle memory to give. I mean, I know my job. I do it well. I do it great.
Okay, Trump. I do have a question.
I'm big,
if you're in the hospital,
I'm successful.
We have the biggest keys.
He said all the time with the keys coming back.
Now, here's the thing.
Our keys suck.
Yes, I'm sure it's the keys' fault and the morning's fault and the length of the line.
The year 2018, why do we still have keys?
When I was a boy, you got an actual physical key. We've actually made strides. I mean, now it's the card. Now, when you do the card presentation, you're in the hospitality business, which means basically you provide, right?
I do provide.
Why not provide them advice of not putting it near their phone?
I do, but it's like I said.
Give me your spiel. Hand me my key and tell me what you say.
All right, so here's your key. First number is going to be the floor. Elevator's right between the little hallway right next to you. Breakfast complimentary from 6 a.m. until 10. Wi-Fi also complimentary, just your last name and the room number. Room service provided until 11 p.m. You'll find a menu for O'Malley's Irish Pub inside of your
room. I've already tuned it out.
Exactly.
When you hand the key, you must say, please do not put this by your phone.
Mm-hmm. That's a given.
It's not a given.
Yes, it is.
No, then why do they keep bringing it back?
Because they're idiots. They just stuff their keys into pockets.
That's hospitality. Do you want to actually give the address of your hotel?
22700 Holiday Park Drive. Give me a call.
Ring me up.
I'm
ladies,
bored.
I'm on the gram.
I haven't had a day off since Bonnaroo. I'm tired.
Okay, but you don't have a day off because you went on a weeks-long trip not working.
I get that. It was paid vacation. I got paid.
Okay, then
what side are you arguing?
I don't know anymore.
See, this is what we deal with.
That is. Okay. This is such so a great, this should be shown in a health
that's
class.
It's a great footnote in our in his history of failure, right? Because there is a body to this story. And the body involves another transaction that we have been holding on to for about a month now.
Yes.
And it involves and look, if you're asking why are you beating up on the kid? No, the kid's great. Like
this is a celebration,
this is
really.
A celebration. Yes. And if you can tell, my tone is no longer I'm gonna help you change your life, son. It's more like, you know, your lot in life is your lot in life.
Yeah, that darn Adrian.
Yes. Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, you know what? He's become less of an intern and more of a wacky neighbor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who you are? You're Newman.
You're Kramer.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're Dennis the Menace.
Wow, that's three different people.
Hello, Diego. So, I will say this, as a member of the hospitality industry, even though he is a consistent screw-up,
yes.
He does jump to the chance to help out at any given time.
Oh, just quick sidebar.
Please, please.
Before you get into this, know that today's YouTube presentation, the first few minutes of the presentation is me just going back and forth, shaking my head like this in an awkward way. So feel free to make a meme out of that. because I'm staring at Diego and I can barely see the screen of his iPad that he's running off these camera switches off.
Right.
And I'm seeing if he actually just has me on camera just doing this crazy thing.
Right.
Or he has you who is talking.
Right.
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 He had me doing this crazy thing on camera while the show was starting.
I think he has a favorite. That's
no,
all
it's not that. It's that he's either he wants to have sex with me or he just was trying to fix the camera. But all of that should have been done prior to this escapade.
Right.
Right.
True enough.
The man has a system that is broken.
It's a broken system.
Which applies to the story you're about to tell.
As I said, and here is a rare, well-placed compliment. When people need help, Adrian jumps to it. He loves to do it. He often screws it up, but he's always there to do it. And I mean, he goes back to even to gluing the tiles to the ceiling.
He's like Hancock.
Yeah.
No superpowers.
That's right.
Well, Hancock had them, but without the superpowers, he tries to fix things, he makes things worse. And then the city of Los Angeles turns against him.
He is forgetful man.
Yes.
So one thing that he'll do occasionally, if we want something for lunch or something from Starbucks, as evidence today, he will go get it for it. Now, Pony, you wanted...
I wanted a bagel dog.
A bagel dog.
It's a bagel and a hot dog.
Yeah, we have a surly staffed bagel store across the way from us called Einstein Bagels. Mm-hmm. Great bagels, lousy coffee. And he sent him down to get a bagel dog, which is a simple transaction.
Yeah, very simple.
So what happens?
All right, so first of all, it was
Can
a tough day.
Can you give him a little gain, please?
Yes, of course.
The man's got a thin voice.
Yeah.
I don't have a thin voice.
All that smoke. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I'm just going to process
voice.
It.
DJ voice.
No, you don't.
So I order Matt's bagel dog from Einstein Bagels, and I have the bagel dog. I'm ready to go back. I'm ready to go please Matt, you know, say, hey, I got your bagel dog.
I'm ready to go please
hey,
Matt.
Please me.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make it. Pretend you're talking to a girl that you actually have a shot with.
All right. That makes it worse because now I'm nervous and awkward.
Okay. Pretend talking to a girl that you got to pay for sex.
All right.
Good.
Now I'm confident.
That's right.
Go ahead.
All right.
Slip into client mode.
So I step out of the Einstein Bagels and I get a hot text from Rob saying, Shannon needs a breakfast sandwich.
Yes.
And Shannon Santana.
Shannon Santana needs a breakfast sandwich.
Shantana.
Right away.
And, you know, I have spent a lot of time with Shannon after the show and we enjoy each other's
company. She's got opinions, let me tell you.
You know what? She has opinions and she's not shy about sharing them.
No, she's not.
That's going to be a new podcast between me and Rob Ford and Shannon. And it's called Rob Ford's It's Gonna Be Okay. Because what will happen is Shannon will come into a room, issue an opinion, and then we'll discuss it.
Yeah.
And
then
once it settles down, Rob just says, it'll be okay.
I believe she came in and she said, where's Adrian? And I said, oh, he's getting a bagel dog at Einstein. She says, what? Tell him to get me a goddamn breakfast sandwich and a hand-squeezed orange juice.
That was pretty much it.
Demand.
There might not have been a goddamn in there. But
I think there was.
But there was definitely
that
tone.
She's sweet. She's a tyrant.
So you get the hot text.
Yes. So I get the hot text and I go back inside and I place my sunglasses, my Diet Coke, and Matt's bagel dog on the table where I was sitting waiting for the order. And so I go to the front, to the register place, and I ask them to, you know, for the breakfast sandwich and a freshly squeezed orange juice. But they didn't have that. They had simply orange, which I think is good enough.
Yeah, you know, good enough for government work.
Well, you know, he's in the hospitality industry. Yeah. How many times have you said to a hotel guest, well, that's good enough.
Here's a square bagel.
For you. A square bagel, like the square eggs. Yeah.
bunch of squares.
Square bagel.
So I get the sandwich. I turn around. Everything is gone from my table. My sunglasses, my Diet Coke, and Matt's bagel dog disappears. So I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, oh, you know what? Maybe Charlie or maybe, you know, Chris Freitz, you know, someone from the show came into Einstein Bagels and saw me and is playing a trick on
like
me.
They're punking you.
Exactly.
Chris Freitz does that.
Classic Freitz.
Classic Freitz.
Where I could see an ant steal a hot dog bagel.
Running down the street laughing, wearing his sunglasses.
So I'm looking around. It's like, oh, where are these guys? Like, oh, man, they got me good. But no, enough's enough. So I'm looking. I can't find anyone. I can't find anything. And I look outside, and I see my Diet Coke. And outside, eating Matt's hot dog bagel or bagel hot dog, is this homeless guy that I've been seeing all morning outside of the Starbucks.
Lurking.
Yeah. And I march up to him. I'm so mad because it's already been a hard day, a tough day.
So we've accounted for, he's eating the hot dog bagel. Yeah. He's drinking the soda.
Not drinking the soda.
Okay, but he's got the soda.
He's got it, yeah.
Where are the sunglasses?
On the table with him. Okay. He's not wearing them.
So he's
God.
Hanging out with him.
So he went into the bagel place, grabbed it, and made a dash, but not very far.
No, he just went outside to the outdoor seating area.
Yeah, but he had to go inside to get the stuff,
right? Yeah, he did.
Now, here's the thing. Later, when we were discussing this homeless gentleman, I knew exactly who he was talking about based on his outfit, because when I pulled in that morning, this same guy was in front of the bagel bakery, for no reason, pointing at the sky.
Yeah.
The whole time.
I've seen him. He's a nice guy.
He's nice enough. So we know.
I bought him gloves when it was cold outside.
Oh, mm-hmm. I bought him ice cream when it was cold outside.
I may not have let him sleep in the little vestibule here.
Hmm. Well, you know, he's a good guy, and he's personally responsible for having locks on all the bathrooms now in the building.
Well, that had nothing to do with that.
No. So you go, do you approach him?
Oh, yeah, I approached him.
What is your mood?
I was like, dude, I just snatched everything. Like, that's mine. And I just snatched it out of his hands, like the food, the bag of food.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, after I got yelled at.
Okay, now, what'd you do?
I marched back.
Wait, first of all, don't get to the finish line. You got to explain what happened.
Yeah, we're not to the conclusion yet.
Okay, so I'm really upset. I'm really mad that this guy just went inside and took my food and my sunglasses and my drink. So I walk outside. I'm like, dude, this is mine. What are you doing? And I snatch everything out of his hands. Mm-hmm. I take my Coke and I take my sunglasses. I go back inside and I go up to the cash register and I said, I don't know if this has been touched or what, but that guy out there has been, you know, picking
stealing food.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that the helpful staff at the bagel place answered with, what?
No, they were like, again?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, they're right. They're aware of him. They know him.
Okay, so what did you do with your food?
Yeah.
That he had?
I took it back and they took it. I gave it back to them.
You turned it in?
I turned it in.
Okay.
He doesn't deserve food. You don't.
No.
That's not how you get food.
No, you leave it with him.
You leave him there.
You gotta leave it with him.
Yeah. No.
If someone is so hard up to steal food,
let him steal it.
Don't you feel like, eh?
Haven't you ever seen Les Mis?
That guy's got a bad beat.
There's a proper way to be homeless and a wrong way to be homeless.
He did
that
classic
was the wrong way.
Grab and snack. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So he drove by.
He did the classic dog and jog.
Except he didn't take the sunglasses. You get those back.
It was a snatch and snack. So
snatch and snack.
You went back and you committed the same crime, technically.
Yeah.
No, because I paid for it. It's my food.
Yeah, but it was, you know, realistically, what's a hot dog
bagel
cost?
Are you defending
cost?
The homeless guy?
Yeah, what is
I
a hot
am
dog
too,
bagel
yeah.
Cost?
I know. Come on.
What is that hot dog bagel cost you?
Bagel dog.
Bagel.
Nothing.
What's
Matt paid for it.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was like
what
$4
is the
or
price?
$5.
Oh, like $4, yeah.
Okay. $4.
Yes.
How much do you think that $4 means to Matt if he knows that a homeless man is more hard up for that than Matt is? Look at him. He doesn't even eat.
Absolutely.
After getting yelled at on my way back, apparently it means a lot to them.
Well, okay. No, but also, what about this play? Did this even cross your mind? Go in and say, hey, he took my bagel dog. May I have a replacement, please? And then let him keep it.
I could have done that. And like I said, in hindsight, yes, that's what I should have done. And I felt bad the whole day for doing that.
You should have.
I did. Mm-hmm. I do.
What do you do at the hotel if somebody has a problem? Do you go and punch them in the face and say, I'll help you a little later on next time you have a problem?
Of course not. I solve it. I fix it right there and then on the spot.
Yeah, because when I see you, I think problem solver.
Apply what you just said to your own situations.
Like I said,
a guy with a problem. He clearly has an empty tummy. He wants a little snack.
Yeah.
He stole from you. That sucks. Be the bigger man and go, hey, look, you got a snatch and snack situation going on here. I need another bagel dog from my emaciated friend back in the studio.
And did they replace
the homeless?
Did they replace it for free?
They did replace it for free.
You see,
shrinkage. Yeah, no problem. Didn't cost you anything.
I was just so mad at the guy. Like, I wasn't thinking straight. Like, I was just so upset that someone would
do
that.
The rage.
I was
the rage.
Yes, the rage. It was the rage.
Did you keep the Diet Coke?
No, I let him keep it.
Did you, they didn't replace that?
No, because it was from here.
Oh.
Why did you take a soda from here down to the bagel place?
Into
it was
a
hot.
Your boys got to dive between here and there.
You had to your the total
it's
amount
literally
of time
across the street.
The total space that you had to cover out of doors is like 80 yards.
Hey, the homeless guy got a free Diet Coke. We should be happy.
Okay.
Isn't that what you guys want?
You
that,
think so circularly, it pisses me off.
You mean squarely?
Okay.
It's square eggs.
Listen. Why does this S happen to you all the time?
Yeah, you're like one of those strips that attract flies. You're fly paper.
Great stories, though, huh?
No.
Not really.
No.
I don't even want to get into the fact that when he came back and tried to tell us what happened, it took about 30 minutes for him to tell, because it was like watching Pulp Fiction.
And because you have such a problem telling stories, we have...
I'm working on it.
We have like a BS detector that goes by.
Yeah.
And you know what the alternative fact story is, if we're looking, taking a deep dive into your fake world, is that you're like, a bagel dog should take roughly a 10-minute round trip.
Right.
My car is a minute up the ramp here. I can go take a quick vaporizer shot to the dome. That leaves me roughly 7 minutes. By the time I get to the bagel place, hopefully there's a short line. So then I'm already getting the bagel dog by minute seven of the 10 minutes. They're not going to even know I'm gone. And that doesn't leave any time for error when you have a snatch and snack situation happen to you.
That's right. You Oscar. Know what? You're based on precision, and yes. It was monkeyed with.
And you're not a precision guy, man. You need a lot of leeway.
Yeah.
It means so much that you would think that I think like that.
No,
you gave me a lot of credit right there.
Oscar has said this for years, is that pot smokers, they're always thinking about the next time.
They could have cured cancer by now.
That's all you're thinking about. Everything is an obstacle or an accelerant to get you to the next time you get to spark
up. How do I not program this key so I can go out behind the hotel and get high?
Exactly. I just want to nap. Rob found me napping this morning on the couch.
No, you weren't napping, but it was odd. He did have his shirt. He had his
it
sleeves.
It was so cold in here.
He had his arms inside his sweatshirt.
You know, this is a professional environment. Half the people in here that don't know you, they're just thinking there's a homeless man sitting on the couch, passed out.
They're gonna take your bagel dog.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Just do me a favor.
Nice comeback.
Don't act like a toddler when you're here, all right?
Okay. Act like a grown-up. You are a grown-up.
I am a grown-up.
I've seen you stare at a blank screen at a computer for hours during shows.
We've got another intern that does that.
Okay, well, again, I've seen you do this. You have sat in the chair. So just for perspective, for those of you not in the know, as we now are broadcasting from Podcast Village, right?
Yeah.
I have a clear line of sight to one of the edit bays.
Right.
And I've seen at least two occasions where Diego would go sit in front of a screen, and I'm waiting for him to like pop up Adobe Audition.
Yeah, open the application.
Or Final Cut Pro.
Something.
Or Adobe Premiere for video editing. And I'm doing the show, right?
Right.
And remember, I punched out on him, so I just like to know he's alive and happy, and you know, everybody just has different goals in life, and some people don't have any.
Before the show, after the show, we put a mirror under his nose.
Yes,
just make sure he's breathing.
And he's a good egg, like he.
He's
like
a square
I said,
egg.
We all have a family member that you're like, not coming to the wedding, but definitely going to see him during the high holidays.
Sure,
right?
He's welcome at Thanksgiving.
So, I'm staring at him. And I know what the screensaver is that we put on there that's like the default for any Mac, right?
Right, right.
And I'm waiting for the screen to change. I'm like, all right, man. He's just probably booting up right now.
Gotta be.
And, you know, the cooling core in the computer, his heart's beating. He's gonna hit that keyboard soon and something's going to pop up. And then about 10 minutes into the show, as we start the program after the vignette.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, maybe he was doing something on his phone, right?
Could be.
Now it's really going to happen. The magic's going to happen. I know he's got a bunch of responsibilities off air. He's going to start really showing us what he's got.
Right. Right.
Halfway through the show, we're into our third break. I think at that point we had some sort of interview, and I'm like, all right. I walk out during that quick break to get a soda, right?
Right, right.
And I look at him, and he's sitting there with his sunglasses on, staring at the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
I come to the realization that the guy had not booted up, he booted down.
Yeah.
So he was doing what he does in school, or he probably did.
When you saw his sunglasses, did they have the Apple screensaver on the lenses? Because he had gone into sleep mode?
I don't know what you do and how you ramp up in life. And some people are like lizards. They got to sun themselves on a rock for a while before they get going.
Exactly.
Right? I am like that as well. Mm-hmm. But for me to see you do nothing for the entirety of the show, or, by the way, the other fun thing to do is see you watch at a look at a file that Pony has pulled up for you, and I don't see the file moving at all in the edit. I'm like,
static file.
He's just staring at that file.
I will say this.
Do you ever feel like, man, I've done nothing with my life?
Absolutely not. I'm very proud of myself.
Okay.
Where I am.
Yeah.
And I have been working.
Where are you, by the way?
Where are you?
In your mind.
I'm here. I'm here.
And here meaning like you showed up?
No, I'm in a good place. I'm in a good place.
Does it bother you when you make the trip?
Give me the top five things about your life right now.
And let me ask before that, while you mentally order that, does it ever bother you sometimes you make the trip all the way into Washington, D.C., you park, you come up here, you sit, and for the duration of the show, you do nothing, and then you leave. Does that bother you?
No, because that's never happened.
Okay, apparently it's never happened.
Top five things about me, or five things I'm excited about?
Actually, you know what? Let's sit on that. Let's give him a moment to gather it, because he's going to need a moment.
Top five things in your life.
Right.
Were you just listening to me?
Yes, I was.
Okay, why did you ask me what top five things?
Because you just said top five things. You didn't say it.
In the context of the conversation, it was, tell me the top five things about your life right now.
Yeah, the important, good, notable things. Five
that you're
of them.
Proud of.
Yes, I'm proud of the 8 years
stop
of
Stop it, stop it, stop it. As what? I said, we're going to start the show and then come back. You maybe want to look in the waste paper basket and make a note.
This is when I'm staring at the screen and be like, I know he's going to start right now.
Yeah.
He's going to start listening. He's going to start figuring out what's going on.
I love the fact about you that you really do root for him still.
I do.
You've not given up. But I will say this. We've had some really great interns, and we've got a great pack of them right now. But sometimes, Oscar, when you roll the intern dice, it comes up snake eyes.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Have a popsicle. The icebox just broke down and they're melting all over the place. You want one?
No, thanks. Listen,
have a popsicle.
Are you the Wolfman?
No, man, I'm not the Wolfman. Wait a minute.
Who is this on the Wolfman telephone?
Diane.
How you doing, Diane?
All right.
That's the Wolfman.
Do you love me?
He's on tape. The man is on tape.
Say you love me.
Well.
Yeah.
Where is he now? I mean, where does he work?
Where?
The Wolfman is everywhere.
Where?
Well, I gotta give him this note.
Here, let me see the note. Well, that's just a dedication, man. What I can do is I relay it. It'll be on tomorrow or Tuesday.
No. See, this is very important. You see, I may be leaving town tomorrow, and it's very important that I reach this girl right now.
You don't know whether you're going to leave town or not?
Well, I'm supposed to go to college back east tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to go. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Have a popsicle.
No.
Huh?
No, thanks.
Sit down a minute. It's early in the morning.
Damn.
I can't talk for the Wolfman, but I can tell you one thing. If the Wolfman was here, he'd say, get your ass in gear. The Wolfman comes in here occasionally, bringing tapes, you know, to check up on me and whatnot.
Yeah.
And the places he talks about that he's been, the things he's seen. There's a great, big, beautiful world out there. And here I sit, sucking on popsicles.
Why don't you leave?
I'm not a young man anymore. And the Wolfman gave me my start in the business, and I like it. I tell you what, if I can possibly do it tonight, I'll try to relay this dedication in and get it on the air for you later on.
That would be terrific. Really. Thanks.
Yes, man. Hey, it's been a
pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Really.
I appreciate it.
Sticky little mothers, ain't they?
They really... Six or seven of them, right?
I know. I got a whole refrigerator full.
Thanks a lot.
See you later.
Appreciate it.
Rock on, baby. We gonna do it right here. Rock and roll yourself to death. Oh, mercy. Give me some more.
H-E-R-B.
The Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, here's Rob.
All right. Live from the beautiful and state-of-the-art Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show is a worldwide radio show and podcast with loyal listeners who get it. And if you're here, you are in the know. We are on air, on demand, and heard 24/7 on the fantastic new TMOS PlayaPod app. Grab it today. Get our new show today. Get all our old shows and streams live all day, every day. You can write us at P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007, or call us anytime at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by our friends downstairs, Cornerstone First Financial. Here's a fact you got to keep in mind. Home values are at their highest level now in 14 years, which means there are trillions of dollars in equity out there.
Trillions.
So it's a perfect time to use your home as a virtual ATM. Woo! I'm making air quotes. Virtual ATM.
Take my home, please.
For,
oh, you know what I mean.
Consolidate debt. You can do a divorce buyout. Worth it. Home improvements or anything else, especially since the tax deductibility implications on a HELOC have changed this year. You really do stand to benefit when you look into this.
Talk to the Cornerstone.
Yeah, talk to Mark. Talk to Joe.
What are the tax implications?
Oh, and they'll tell you. You know what they'll do? They'll stick it to the side of the mouth and say, "Hey, I'll let you in on it. Come here. Yeah. There are implications, dude." Yeah. And if you're buying a house, Cornerstone First Financial is a direct lender with their own money, and they can set their own rates and beat all others. You can get pre-approved before you work with an agent so you know what you qualify for, just like so many TMOS listeners have done before you. We promise you, Cornerstone First Financial will give you sound advice. I've taken their advice. Oscar has taken their advice.
Doesn't HELOC sound like a helicopter, right?
I thought it sounds more like a villain on, like, He-Man.
Get to the HELOC!
Get to the copter. Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial at 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. Personal attention from application to closing. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado. Don't wait. Now is the time to call Cornerstone First Financial.
Or a Highline vehicle.
Yes.
Where you're like... the Land Rover HELOC.
Oh, the HELOC comes equipped standard with California emission.
That's what I just picked up.
Got myself an all-wheel drive HELOC.
Now I am millions of dollars in debt.
I am upside down. Upside down.
No, but I'm serious. Like, I got to figure out how I'm going to fix these floors.
Yes.
So if I do have equity in my home, and I've been in my home for over a year, there could be an opportunity to put a subfloor in.
That'd be great.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop by tomorrow.
Hey, you know what? Maybe we work a deal with them where you get the subfloor, but put their logo on it. So it's like baked in advertising.
They don't care about that.
No.
Rob, jerk.
Hey, just, you know what? There are no wrong answers.
They'll tell me, Oscar, it's possible. Oscar, it's not possible.
What they'll probably say is, it's possible, it's unlikely, just walk gently and wear slippers.
Yes.
That's their solution.
Oh, by the way, I found a big rat and I drowned it yesterday.
Stay on that because we have to finish with Adrian. Whoa, we have to put We have to put Adrian to bed right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My bad.
Five things.
Please, I'm tired.
Five things.
You're tired?
Yeah.
And tuck you into the envelope. Is that what you want?
Let's do it.
Really gross.
You said it.
Pony, let's walk out quietly.
No.
Leave us alone.
No. That's what my father calls the bed.
The envelope?
Yeah. And, he goes, yo me voy a ir al sobre, which is, I'm going to the envelope.
I've never
heard
that.
And I really thought about it.
Did you used to think it was post office? Why does he go to the post office every day?
Well, no, think about it. You are like a piece of paper tucking yourself into bed.
And if you want to get really technical, the blankets envelop you.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a romance language. Don't let him get off the hook, though.
Okay.
Five things. And start with number five.
Number five. I am proud of my 8 years at the hotel.
So these are the things that you're proud of and happy about.
Yes.
And how old are you?
26.
Okay.
You started there at 18?
I did.
What was your first gig? What was your first title? What was your first duty at the hotel when you
breakfast
got there?
Breakfast toast with my square eggs.
Yeah.
Pretty good. All right. And how are you making, was it an hourly wage then?
It still is, yeah. But it was a lot less, though.
That upward mobility, let
I
me
like
tell
that.
You.
All right, number four.
I'm excited that I covered the 2018 Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival for you guys.
Jesus.
That's a...
There was something there. What did you say?
I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm proud that
remember,
I covered...
Remember, slow down. You're talking to a hooker.
Okay.
Oh, and while you mention that, I have a game I play every day. Hold that thought on number four. Stack that thought. I open up Instagram and I see who's messaged me.
IG?
And I get on the gram.
Are you on IGTV yet?
And I, no, what is that?
It's the Instagram TV. It just launched yesterday. We should probably put TMOS on there.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good
idea. IGTV.
So my new game now is I scroll my messages and it's a contest. Do I have more hookers or do I have more people trying to get me to join the Illuminati?
Yeah.
The Illuminati, you are slacking. Ooh. Because I'd only got like one Illuminati message today and like five hookers. And it's always, hello, handsome.
He knows it's Illuminati people. Don't tell him that he's saying it wrong.
Illuminati.
A-U-G-H-T-Y.
Yeah, he's doing his own
Illuminati
shtick.
Yeah. Anyway, so step it up, Illuminati.
Please.
Thank you. Restate number four and do it in English.
I'm proud that I covered the 2018 Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival for you guys.
Ding, ding. You got
Thank
that.
You.
Okay.
Yes.
And although it could have been a disaster, it actually came out okay.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Although
that.
We expected a lot of tapes, we got three.
Yeah.
It was my first time.
It's fine.
I had no
it's
play
big, it was a big win for him. Big win for him.
They were long. And although we spent a lot of time giving you advice, you ignored it all.
All
but
right,
congratulations
let's go.
On number four.
Let him get to three, please.
Three.
Number three, I am very proud of the fact that I was able to, my networking skills, I was able to get Ashley Capps's and some Pigeons playing ping pong emails.
Okay, this is a good thing. I'm happy you said that. this rolls into Bonnaroo.
Yes, this
so
is
this
a subheading.
This does not count.
No, if you were making an outline, it would be 5, 4, and then A.
Yes.
That was really the example of my networking. That was just an example.
Okay, but... Do you have another example that would not be part of the Bonnaroo experience?
Yeah, yes. Where are you networking elsewhere?
So I'm really good friends with Lenise Harris. She was the she was Wolf Blitzer's producer for CNN. She was Emmy Award winning.
Oh,
as well.
That explains why Wolf Blitzer's been on the show.
What? She doesn't work with them anymore.
But she has a contact to him, yes.
Yes. Would you like Wolf Blitzer on the show?
Oh my God, I've messaged him a million times. I can never get him on.
Do you listen to this show?
Only when I'm on it.
Okay. So you're saying? He's honest.
I'm just kidding.
Number two?
Number two, I'm very proud of the fact that I am very proficient in Adobe software. Premiere, Audition, Photoshop.
Yeah, but you don't do the work you're supposed to do in the timeline you're supposed
to do. That's just shtick, Oscar. You know that's not true.
No, you didn't deliver the Bonnaroo tapes on time. Oh. You failed at uploading spots multiple times.
Numerous times.
You forgot to do... you've been late on Best Ofs. We had to take that away from you. Like, there's so much going on.
I was doing Best Ofs yesterday.
Doesn't count.
He's not involved anymore.
I actually have a list of things that I think Adrian is very good at, and I added video. He's the best video editor we have when
he doesn't,
we need video editing.
He doesn't edit anything, though.
This is well, no, he does edit some videos occasionally when we need something done, but he's great with Adobe.
Let me tell you this. Someone can only be great at something if they actually do that something, not just because they know how to do it.
This is true. He delivers on when we do Best Ofs. I usually give him two. I'll do three. He delivers on those. It's the spots. You're right. The spots he was totally awful with.
I don't know why I have to explain this to you guys.
Trust me, I'm with you, but go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because someone has some sort of proficiency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they may be good at that.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they're good at that when it involves us. He has failed us more than he has actually succeeded when it comes to that.
This is true.
By tenfold.
This is why
How many
I'm
times
about
have you
ofs?
Been yelled at because he has failed you?
A few times, but...
A few? Do you block them out?
A few.
More or less, yeah, but I have been, of course, going back and double-checking things more. And like I said, he delivers with Best Ofs, not with the spots.
Okay. What is he involved in with us? Be honest now. We're going to do some
right
show
now,
business.
Right now, I'd say primarily what we use him for it would be the occasional Best Of show, and only when I have like plenty of time ahead of time to cover for any shortcomings. But phone screening, he's our best phone screener.
Okay. He's not that great at that either.
No, he's not. But of our choices.
Remember that month he didn't show up to work?
I do remember that month he didn't show up.
We have such a... Look, people.
Yes, it's on, Oscar.
I promise you that there are people that care about the show working on it. That it's not just, that guy's cool. We'll see how he does. He delivered the project, or he actually did what he said he was going to do, so he's awesome at it. There's got to be a higher bar. And I quite frankly do not feel comfortable with Diego doing any of this work. And I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Be for the same reasons that 5 minutes ago when I said, hey, man, these are some simple assignment instructions for things I want that I'm going to pay you for. He could not deliver that.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You are setting yourself up for failure. And if this happens again, Pony, and he fails us and he lets something through that he's not supposed to, mm-hmm. or he has a bad edit on something, it's on you. Why do you keep
Absolutely.
Going to that well?
Like I said, I only really count on him for things that are not time sensitive.
And he's smiling over there.
Oh, he's happy as hell.
He's smiling over there because, yes, you have his back. I get that. But we have had off-air conversations of like who is not to be trusted, and that person is sitting across from us now.
Like I said, I only trust him with things that I have enough time to fix up if there's a problem.
Okay, now that's a lie, but I'm sure you'll fix that and get that taken care of because I can tell when you're trying to cover for yourself. Now for Diego,
yes,
you understand that you're great at that, but you're not great at delivering those projects.
Yes,
remember when you said Oscar? This is a true story.
All right.
3 weeks ago, you came in, you showed me a logo. You're like, I've got this YouTube thing on lock. We're going to work this out. Where is that?
It is with the rest of my, it's my laptop broke. So I lost a lot of all of my software.
Mm. All right, let's go to number one.
Number one.
Oh, by the way, number two denied.
Yeah, well, because now you can't even do it.
Right. All right. Number one, this is the key thing.
Number one,
my laptop broke. You left it under a children's tent in the middle of a music festival.
That was my phone. That was my phone.
You said everything.
You said the laptop too, though.
I mean, it got
did
wet.
Did you lie to us about that?
No, the laptop got wet, but it didn't like break down. This was broken down before I left to Bonnaroo. Like, I just used a trial software to get the work done.
All of this, it's a web of lies.
It is. It's a tapestry, and it's unraveling.
You had to have your computer in rice for 3 days because it got soaking wet.
My
Do you remember
phone
that
in rice.
Lie? No.
You said your computer.
All right. I don't remember
How about
saying
this?
That.
Why wouldn't he remember? Because you're high.
You guys are sleuths.
Yeah.
You love to help. We usually don't like it. Is Adrian lying about what he just said?
Yes.
Throw it up on the page. I know you guys listen to the show every sentence.
They hang on our words.
You go ahead and check that out a little later today, because they're going to tell you what you said.
Now, number one.
Number one, I'm very proud of the fact of how quickly I can learn musical instruments. I'm proficient in guitar, bass, mandolin, ukulele. I bought a drum set. I'm very good with woodwind instruments, like the saxophone.
The pan flute?
I love the pan flute.
The flesh flute?
Harmonicas are hard. Can't
yes,
figure
they
that
are.
One out.
Mm-hmm.
We've never heard you play a single instrument.
That's unfortunate because I would love to
I don't
to
know
bring.
That it's that unfortunate.
He offered to bring one in and Rob has denied him repeatedly.
Really?
All the time.
I don't know that it's...
Oh, come on. Let him. He's got... If he's that
if you
good
could
at
bring
something,
in
that's
this is what
number
I said.
One with a bullet.
What mm-hmm. would you bring in if you were given the chance to bring in one instrument?
I would bring in my mandolin Opal because Charlie plays mandolin and we could probably jam out or something.
Charlie from Podcast Village.
Yes.
The mandolin.
Yes.
Mandolin Rain.
Okay,
listen
but,
to it.
But what's greatest for the show?
Yeah. I think if I were to make a request, I would say bring in a saxophone.
Oh, that'd be so cool. I would love to.
Do you have one?
Yeah, of course I have one.
What about a oboe?
Oh, I would love an oboe. I don't play the oboe, but I can learn it, though.
What's the difference between an oboe and a clarinet, Mr. Mozart?
It's the oboe has a little tiny reed.
But no, it's not. It's something more specific than that.
It's lower
no,
in tone.
No, an oboe has a double reed.
Oh, okay, yep.
So it's a totally different experience than playing a clarinet.
Correct.
Clarinet is closer to a saxophone, actually.
Yes, they're both woodwinds.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
Even though it looks like it's made of brass.
What about a, what's the big one?
Tuba?
Cello, yes.
Yes. Actually, funny story, I wasn't allowed
Hold it, before you do this, I guarantee you this story's not funny.
It might be.
Go ahead.
I wasn't allowed to play the cello because I was too small for it.
Because you're as big as the cello.
Yeah. So I had to play the violin.
Hey, I bet if he played, I bet he could play the violin like a cello.
See, you win me back.
You see, you're like the beaten spouse.
Yeah.
You are the lady on Cops.
Well, because he got a hormone deficiency that wouldn't let him grow past the cello.
Hey. Is that true?
I thought that was the case. No.
Him and 99 of his friends are all in the movie The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, you're on the brink of what is it? That guy's got him missing a chromosome. Look at that cello.
Come on.
It's taller than him. Way taller.
See him carrying the case?
Yeah. No, you just see the case walking down the street. You don't see him. You're like, man, that cello's really moving.
There's always room for cello. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Rat Trouble.
Rat Trouble.
Oh, Rat Trouble after rat this on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, I'm Old Man Eyebrows, and she's Kathleen Tyner.
I am really glad to be back here.
I understand you've come to help promote the recently returned Cake and Cookies with Robin Cady.
I've always wanted to, and I will. I can do that, yeah. I'm thinking of this as my fourth career.
You might remember they used to be on the radio, and now they do a podcast.
I liked the radio more.
Oh, well, nowadays, Katie von Hyman likes to talk about her crazy jaw problems and life with Dan Presley and Judd, while Rob Spiewak chimes in with his incessant dad jokes.
Oh, I wonder how you feel about that.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but can you share some thoughts about Cake and Cookies off the top of your head?
Really? Okay. That's a good question. Oh, stupidity. I think it's really good. This is very intimate, some of it. Very, very personal, huh? It is odd. I think it might embarrass you a little bit. You feel lousy about yourself.
I guess that's helpful. It's Cake and Cookies, wherever fine podcasts are found. Hey, Kathleen, want to help sing us out?
No, I don't sing. I just act. Shut up and do it. Don't be afraid.
Forget it.
I know Mike Pollack is doing a voice there, but nothing as ridiculous as the actual voice of Kathleen Turner. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Here, I want to... Carrie, turn up the computer. Linus, listen to this. We all have dogs. We all love our dogs, which is why we love Whistle. Pod Dog loves Whistle. You know, Santos lives here. It's his second home. And he loves the Whistle. Whistle is a device that attaches to your pet's collar that allows you to track their location and activity from an app right on your phone. Whistle is lightweight, waterproof, good for Adrian, and it has a rechargeable battery that lasts up to 10 days. Whistle uses GPS and AT&T's cellular network to monitor your pet 24/7 anywhere in the United States. You can even use the Wi-Fi zones in your house to monitor your pet, and it'll notify you when your pet comes back to its safe place. It's so great. And when your pet is beyond Wi-Fi range, Whistle can track your pet anywhere in the USA using AT&T's cellular network. Microchipping and tags are important for pet safety, true, but Whistle lets you find your dog before he gets lost. Find your pet in minutes and rest easy thanks to Whistle. Whistle brings peace of mind to pet owners across the nation, and for a limited time, our listeners can get $25 off a Whistle device when you use the code TMOS. So go to whistle.com right now and use the code TMOS at checkout. Visit whistle.com today. Whistle, the smarter way to care for your best friend. Now, yesterday was a very nice, I will say thank you to Robin Ferguson for sending lunch for the entire crew.
Very cool. Yeah.
It was so nice that as we were winding up the show yesterday, a gentleman from Panera showed up with all kinds of sandwiches and salad and everything. So thank you, Robin, for doing that. And I knew it was a tempting spread because Oscar had been bemoaning the fact that there was a problem at his house that he needed to get to with some urgency, but you postponed it long enough to have lunch. Was that because you were dreading what was awaiting you at the house?
Yes. I've chronicled here on the program multiple times that I've got, well, the city of Washington, D.C. has a rat problem.
Yes.
By rat problem, not the cute ones you see in the animated films.
No, not Ratatouille.
We've got these big cartoon size, possum size, house cat size.
Possum, I think, is the most valid comparison because I've seen them. They look like possums.
They're just massive. And they rule they're not scared of anything. It could be a Saturday night, and then everybody's out and about. The rats will be side by side, just skipping down the street, right?
Right.
So, as of late, there's some major construction going around on the corner from our Spite House, and that has disturbed what is, I guess, known as a rat's nest, right?
Yeah, literally a rat's nest.
And the city has gotten involved because, you know, the snooty neighbors, of course, called the city. I don't call the city. You know who I call?
Who?
I call Amazon through our portal where I order traps.
Yeah, you got the traps. Yeah.
And I had finally picked them up. They came in. I laid them like booby traps. Yes, I said booby.
You are a shocking disc jockey.
Around my entire home, including the roof, right?
Did you catch any?
That poison, by the way, not to be messed with.
No, mm-hmm. No. Wash your hands.
Gloves, a mask. I'm like Marty McFly with the full radiation suit as I'm handling this stuff. Right.
Really good.
And I lay them all out strategically,
right,
in the Sallyway, which is the little tunnel between my house and the next door neighbor's house that goes to the backyard.
I'm in the Sallyway.
that has booby traps all over it.
Right.
The roof has it. Any axes, any rats that are coming down.
Sure.
The backyard. And they're all
outsmarting them.
And expensive lock boxes, because I don't want to mm-hmm. accidentally poison my dog, right?
Sure, sure.
Now, if that happens, it just happens.
So
I don't want
it.
Him to go, but you know. You can't control everything.
Yeah,
right?
But thanks to Whistle, you'll know where he died.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, come on.
Just a joke.
So we sit there and we figure out, okay, and by we, I mean me, because my wife isn't doing this. All right, we've done everything. We've cleaned up the poison or little granola bar stacks, yes, that you put into the traps. Has been done under a controlled environment.
Those poison little things, do they taste like coffee peanut? Prince or
they
whatever.
Look like peanut butter.
They look like the Cliff Bar that you throw away.
They actually do look like a Cliff Bar. Right?
Toffee buzz.
Like a radiation Cliff Bar. and I'm like, oh, I wonder how things are going to change now that I have all these countermeasures.
Sure.
Right? I didn't take long because that night I heard a squeak, 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 squeak underneath my floor again. I said, I hope somebody finds this peanut butter trap.
Right.
and starts they start dying off.
Right.
And 3 days later, Santos goes out. Dogs are, you know, smarter than us sometimes. He's like pointing at something that's back there, and it's a diseased rat that it looks like it's paralyzed. I don't know.
He has seen better days.
At first I thought it was a squirrel and I was like, oh, that's definitely a rat, because it was so effing big,
right,
and furry, right?
Oh,
I'm like, maybe by the morning some hawk would have come picked it up, or it's scurried away. I don't know. Maybe it's pregnant. Who knows? I'm not going to kill it tonight. Come in.
How many times have I had that conversation?
I go outside and I see the rat again. I'm like, oh man, I'm going to have to do something about this. Because it's clearly sick. I got to put it out of its misery.
Right.
Coming into the show, because we got that bet going on.
Exactly.
Right?
Got to be here on time.
Yes. In a different galaxy, a land far away, I would have called and been like, I got to go kill this rat.
Sure.
But it wasn't 24 hours before the show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fall into that gray area. Can't do that. Got to be on time.
At any point, did you think that Mike planted the rat?
No. But I was 2 seconds from taking care of it, but right. I had to get to work, right? Right.
He certainly isn't going anywhere.
I said, Shannon, I'm going to come back right after TMOS, and I'm going to take care of the rat. And she said, thank you. So she goes off to do her yoga thing, and I get home. No. And I'm here at the show.
Right.
And you saw me. I said, hey, guys, I got to split for 30 minutes right after the show to go kill a rat.
And you were not excited.
No.
You were dreading it. You were really dreading it.
Right after the show, I took 5 minutes. I found a Reddit page, probably not the smartest place to go for information, but I did, of how to humanely kill a rat.
This is the kind of thing that's going to come up after you pass and they check your computer history.
Yep.
And they say, oh, mm-hmm. he liked that.
A lot of back and forth. Keep him alive. Don't keep him alive. Try to save him. Don't save him. And then finally get to the thread that says, smash him with a rock. Cut him. cut his head off with the tip of a shovel.
The mm-hmm. smash him with a rock, was that posted on Reddit in like 20 BC?
No,
because like the Lord of the Flies page.
It was like
subgroup.
Four threads down. Right, not far to find.
All right,
and then someone writes what is looks to me a small paragraph, well thought out. He said, look, you smash him with a rock, you don't do it right, he may not die instantly. It's just going to be more terror, more pain for this.
Sure.
For this rat. You cut him with a shovel, his head off.
Like try to kill him. Decapitation.
Yeah. What if the shovel's dull and you got to mm-hmm. keep chomping at him? That is a terrible way to die.
Yes.
And that doesn't work. So I'm like, oh, this guy's making sense. He goes, the most humane way is to find a bucket and fill it up with water and then pick it up with the shovel and then drop him in there. So I pick up the bucket, I fill it with water, I take it over.
How big of a bucket?
This is a 5 gallon bucket, right?
Well,
the one you get from Home Depot.
Like the white plastic bucket.
The thing is massive.
Sure.
It is massive. And I pick up the shovel and I'm like, this guy's in pain. There are little flies running just around him. I'm like, I got to put him out of his misery. So I start to pick him up and I notice that he's moving a little bit. And I'm like, oh, man.
That's got to make it harder.
I was like, if you can move, visually, I say, if you make it to the fence line, I'm going to let you go, right?
Okay, yeah.
He didn't. He took two steps, and he plopped down again. It was over, right?
Right.
Flies didn't budge. They just kept following him.
Well, of course. Right? That's their meal ticket. Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, man, I don't want to do this to you, you know, but I'll see you on the other side.
Okay.
So I pick him up, shovel, drop him in.
Is it heavy?
Oh, it's heavy. It's a two-hander pickup.
Oh, God.
And I plop him in, and I'm like, all right. I give him the old, like, pour some Corona out for him.
Yeah,
you know,
so long. One for
later,
my homies.
Later. And I'm walking away to get something from the little tool shed we have, and I hear what is like a struggle.
Okay.
Coming from the bucket. And I look back, and there's a little beak poking out.
His little pink nose.
Yes. Trying to get out. And I'm like, oh, man. Well, we're out. And at this point, I'm like, we've gone too far.
Right.
Like, now I'm the Grim Reaper, right? Right. Now I got to get in there.
Right.
So the shovel I have is too big to get into the bucket, but I have the edge.
Right, right.
So I take the edge, and I'm like, I'm sorry, man. And I take the tip of the shovel, and I put on his back, and I slowly slink him down to the bottom.
Oh, no.
And at this point, I'm like, oh, this is the most terrible thing I've ever done. Yeah, yeah. All right. So I'm like, all right, man, just let it go, let it happen. And then he somehow squirms his way out, and then he pops out on the other side of the shovel, and he's like, no, I don't want this to happen,
oh,
right?
Oh, he's fighting it.
By the way, whoever wrote this Reddit article, wrong.
F them. You know what this reminds me of? You remember in Breaking Bad, like at the very beginning of the series, when he like gasses those two guys?
Yeah.
And the one of them survives, and he like keeps surviving while he's like, Walter's trying to kill him.
Yeah, it's just the worst, right?
It's
right.
Terrible.
So, that's what it is. I'm like, oh. Well, now I have to get the other shovel that fits in the bucket.
Right.
So I go and grab that thing, and now I have to hold him down at the bottom.
This is so grim.
The most terrifying thing that I've ever done in my life happened yesterday when you feel an animal that is pretty effing big.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's a rat or not, struggling for its life because it is trying to push the shovel off if it's back at the bottom of the bucket.
Oh,
right?
My God.
So the thing finally dies, taps out on life.
How long do you think you had to hold them under?
I started remembering what we discussed on the air when you said that they can hold their breath for three minutes.
Oh,
right?
That's right. That's right.
I've completely forgotten about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just stay there. Like I could have watched maybe half an episode of Seinfeld on cable. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want him popping out again.
No, that's the last
whole thing again.
Yeah.
Right?
And let's remind everybody: this thing was dying from the poison.
It's disease.
Thing was not
he was already.
It
was already
it wasn't
dying.
Bouncing back.
Yeah, you're taking
it
and putting him out of his misery.
It wasn't bouncing back. So then you got to dispose of the little guy, right?
Right.
I'm not putting up a pet cemetery in my backyard.
Well, no, no.
So they tell you in the forum, don't trust the internet, mm-hmm. kids. The Rock is more humane. At least you get two poles on that thing, and not five different shovels. You got to put them in a bag, wrap them up like a body bag, then throw them in another trash can because the rat smell will attract other rats, right?
That's okay, so it has to be away from the poisoning site.
Now, this could be all wrong, and I might be called, PETA might be called on me.
I don't think so.
Great sandwiches.
Drowning the rat. If you are ever in a position, whether it's a rat, a disease squirrel, anything, not the most humane. Just not the most humane.
No.
And if you do it with a shovel that'll hold them down at the bottom because they're resilient. They don't want to give up on life just like we don't.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. I would have just put little concrete feet on him. Like a mob hit. And then there's bodies of water around here. And you can just hey, guess who's going to the Potomac? You know, take the rat to Gravelly Point and say, good night. You shouldn't have talked. You knew. Because you know, what do they call a mob informant?
Well, he's a rat.
He's a rat. Exactly. Don't you see? It all makes sense, Oscar.
That is awesome.
All right.
That
when we come
awesome.
Back,
that is awesome.
We have from Mythbusters. This is going to be a legendarily lengthy show. Hope you're enjoying the extra entertainment. No extra charge. We're back with Carrie Byron from Mythbusters right here on The Mike O'Mara Show.
Ciao, ciao.
You did it. You did it.
You did it.
I can't believe you did it.
Yes, because of you, TMOS Live 2018, presented by Zappos, is sold out.
Woo-hoo! Thank you to our listeners for selling the
That's
show out.
Here, here.
Stay tuned to the Mike O'Mara Show for updates and details on the other events that will be a part of TMOS Live 2018.
Congratulations, you did it.
Everybody did it.
We all did it.
Boom, bam.
We'll see you on Friday, November 2nd in the Council Chambers Theater at the Zappos Corporate Center in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Congratulations to the people that made this happen. You.
Thanks for being the best fans in the world.
The fans of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Fact, Oscar. Yes. True fact. Truth. Bank on it. I've never had a better shave than the shave I get with my Harry's. The best blades, the best shaving gel, the best everything. How do you think I get this gorgeous dome every day?
Looks great, man.
It looks great. Of course. Harry's knows that switching razors is not an easy decision, so they created a trial offer. Claim yours by going to harrys.com/TMOS. Now, Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. That's why they bought their own factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at just $2 per blade compared to $4 or even more for the leading brand. Plus, if you don't love your shave, you will though. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days and they will give you a full refund. Get this special $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. You get a weighted ergonomic handle, a 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, the best in the world, and a travel blade cover. And our listeners can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/TMOS. Make sure you go to harrys.com/TMOS to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to support this show. Start saving while you're shaving. And thank you, Harry's. Now, this is a pleasure. This lady is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
I know you know her from Mythbusters. Carrie Byron, author of the new book, Crash Test Girl, a girl who knows a lot about explosions, Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Carrie. How you doing?
I'm very well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Of course, you know Carrie. She was the former Mythbusters host and a professional crash tester. Is that actually on your resume, crash tester?
I've updated it slowly, but my skills definitely include crash testing, wiring explosives at heights. I can drive a forklift. It's nothing that my LinkedIn profile is really going to need, but, you know.
I'd love to see your connections on LinkedIn and the different fields that you probably have to deal with and have dealt with, not just in the entertainment world, but in the world of science. It's amazing.
Nobody's looking for somebody with duct tape proficiency, are they?
I don't know. I think you could probably get a podcast based on that.
Oh, absolutely.
A duct tape podcast. How did you get started? Now, we, of course, you were part of the B team on Mythbusters.
B standing for Build Team.
Build
yeah.
Team. Yeah,
Build.
I wasn't trying to
Not
put you.
Not the A team,
wasn't
B
trying,
team.
Wasn't trying to put you at a second tier there. The main host would, you know, design, and then they made you guys do the work. How did you get started? How did you fall into the Mythbusters gig?
Well, that's actually how I did get started is by helping. See, I was interning at M5 Industries, which is a prop-making and toy prototyping shop that Jamie Heineman ran. And, you know, he got the call to do Mythbusters. They cast him, and then he called Adam because he doesn't like to talk too much and
right.
knew that Adam did. And they started filming Mythbusters out of the shop I was working in. So, you know, I would help out behind the scenes, come help out when the things were crazy or weird or hilarious. And slowly they realized that to make the shows faster, they needed help building. Since I'm already there, they're like, hey, do you want to come and help build the behind-the-scenes sets? You know, we'll set up all the experiments, and then Jamie and Adam will come in and do them. Well, it was maybe a couple weeks before they realized that they needed to move even faster. So they're like, great. So you're no longer a background builder. You're a host now. Talk to the camera.
Wow.
Now, you had no background in broadcasting, did you?
Oh, God, no. I would say at my core, I'm a shy person, unless I've had a couple of glasses of wine. But I really, talking to a camera was a painful thing for me. I mean, if you watch some of those early broadcasts, me and Tori and Scotty, who was on the show at the time, all right. of us look like we are just in pain trying to actually pull this off.
Everybody has a I was in the right place at the right time story, especially in show business, right? How did you end up first in that science and tech company where you guys are building props? How did you get involved on that side?
You know, I'm a sculptor. by, I've always done art, and I was trying to figure out a way that I could be a sculptor and not a starving artist.
Right.
You know, I live in San Francisco, and seeing, you know, things like ILM and, you know, Marin and all these crazy companies that were doing things like special effects, I'm like, oh, that would be a good way to incorporate being a sculptor into a profession.
Wow.
Unfortunately, it was the end of that profession being off a computer.
Right.
But I found Jamie and was like, okay, I really want to be a part of what he does. His shop is amazing. So I went in and got an internship with him. That's completely unpaid. I had to have a night job so that I could have my day job just working for him. And, you know, that's how I ended up getting onto that side of it.
It's so crazy that a 13-year broadcast run, which anyone in show business would kill for,
oh, give a kidney,
started with a sculpture internship. That's so great.
We're in San Francisco. We weren't in L.A., so that whole sort of entertainment beast I had never been a part of. And even when we were doing the show, it felt like we were making home movies because it was really scrappy. It was just like a bunch of builders. None of us clearly looked like fancy actors. We weren't cast. It's just we knew how to build things. We knew how to build them quickly, and we were very efficient. You know, like we were cleaning up after ourselves after we were finished filming the show. Like it was a tight team. We had one cameraman. So sometimes if anything looks contrived, it's because you'd say something and then we'd have to turn the camera around and you'd say it again because we only had one camera.
Mm. Oh, you're doing that on a one camera shoot?
Wow.
Oh yeah. When we started, we had a cameraman, we had a sound person. And then later we got a second person to come in to help set up like GoPro-y kind of cameras, small cameras, but we skeleton crew. It really did feel like a home movie, and their cameras were huge, giant beasts on their shoulders. And you know, we were sending back those cassette tapes. We were sending them to Australia to be edited because our production company's in Australia. I'm just thinking, like, one FedEx goes down and the show is screwed.
This is so fascinating, Carrie. As the show progressed and you became an on-air personality and one of the faces of this just perennial powerhouse franchise, did you start feeling a little intimidated by that fame? Because if you're not looking for it, it can turn right away and say, wow, I'm on television and people are recognizing me.
Especially since that's not what you set out to be.
Absolutely.
In San Francisco, we don't have a very celebrity sort of scene, so nobody really bothers you except for, I think, when I was in hardware stores. That's where my people are. But
yo, shout out to your peeps.
My people. But I didn't really realize how popular the show was and how many people were watching, since it was very insular and it was just us, until I believe the first time was when we went to this thing called Dragon Con.
Yeah.
I know you've heard of Comic Con, but Dragon Con is even more fantasy based and it's in Atlanta. And me, Grant, and Tori walked out. We were going to do a panel and speak to a crowd, and we walked out into this room that had 10,000 people in it. Fire marshals had to like move to a bigger room and weren't letting people in because the show had become so popular.
Wow.
And I walked out and I felt my insides sort of drop, like, oh my God, people watch our show? Like, I had no idea. I was just going to my job every day, and all of a sudden it was just like, dang, this is crazy.
That's cool.
And then you said, dang, we need a second cameraman.
Yeah, right?
We deserve it.
We got more crews that went along.
I want to ask you about the book, and by the way, it's called Crash Test Girl, and you can get it on Amazon. We have the link on our website. It's fascinating because it's half autobiography, it's half your story, and also almost like a self-help guide. And I love how open you are with your journey that you have been through and the things you took away from being on MythBusters. How did you come up with the idea for the book? Because it's a great mixture of the two aspects of writing.
We have found in creating MythBusters that the best way to tell a story as a narrative vehicle was the scientific method. I mean, it's really the best critical thinking tool that I know to get through any problem, situation, or question. So, you know, I have always used sort of that methodology in my life. And so I thought that it would be really cool to tell my story through the scientific method. And
right.
That's how I get through each period of my life and each question I have. And I can apply it to anything from, you know, busting a myth to how I handle depression or dating back when I was doing that.
Really, there were no scientists per se on MythBusters, and yet you still use the scientific method. Do you think the show would have benefited if you had some real science heads helping you guys out, or was that really not needed?
I think that the whole ethos of the show, the reason that it was popular was because we weren't scientists. Because when you're watching the show, you can see we genuinely don't know what's going to happen, and we're learning along with you. So when we're surprised, it's actual real reality, not what they call reality now. It's
right.
Nonfiction. Like, we don't know it's going to explode or catch on fire, so you can see that, and you are on the ride with us. Now, we did have science experts that we would talk to because clearly we wanted to be safe.
Sure.
You know, we usually turn to academia or you know, people that could help us out in very specialized regions. I mean, we found that we found a guy who he works with energetic materials over at New Mexico Tech and has giant bomb ranges. And, you know, those are the kind of friends that you want to have. If you want to shoot a gun, you call a cop. You want to set a fire, you call a fireman.
Yeah, you don't want them as enemies. You want them as friends, especially if they have guns and bombs.
Oh, absolutely.
Carrie, as of late in the news, and properly so, there has been a big shift and a tide of pay for people in the entertainment business overall, right? And the inequality has been exposed throughout the business, and certain production companies are stepping up and saying, look, we were in the wrong and we will advocate for the change here. How is your path through this? Because quite frankly, you were a pioneer to discuss this type of equal pay. It probably wasn't as accepted at this time as it is right now because of how vocal people are being in Hollywood about this.
I mean, I wrote about this in the book because it was a fight for me early on, and I had found out just through conversation that Torian Grant, when we were going through a contract negotiation, I found out since we had been negotiating separately, all of a sudden I found out I was making like way less money than they were. We had the same job title.
Wow.
I had been the first one on the show, so it wasn't like a seniority thing. And I couldn't understand why they were making more money. So, you know, I called the production and I was just like, listen, I want to be paid the same as those guys.
And yeah.
They came up with all sorts of reasons why I shouldn't, which were completely illogical. You know, they're like, you don't have the same degree. I'm like, no, I actually went to the same college as Tori, and we have the exact same degree.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, like, during the same time period, I think we had some of the same teachers. So, nope, can't give me that. Mm-hmm. Everybody here has the same degree. So there's, you know, I kept going through all the reasons and tearing them down logically, and they couldn't give me a reason why I was getting paid less. And, you know, I became very vocal about it, and I forced their hand. And in the end, I went and got an agent because I couldn't get them to do it without getting an advocate. And it actually cost them more in the end because once I got an agent, he came in and was like, no, you should actually be getting way more in general, and took the company to task.
Wow.
And from then on, Tori Grant and I always negotiated with sort of a Friends League of All Nations solidarity, because those guys were like, no, why should you be paying less than us? That's crazy.
So you busted the myth of not needing an agent.
I found that it's a lot easier when somebody who is sort of disconnected to you can fight the battle, because things get nasty sometimes.
And
people are negotiating money.
Mm-hmm. In the course of the show, and it was on for 13 years, it was just such a staple. It was always there to see. Do you have any favorite stunts when you think back?
We had so many, and every single one I took on, I threw myself into, because that's just what you have to do. But I particularly loved working on Shark Week myths because, well, one, when you're done working, you're in the Bahamas. And
yeah.
That's a great way to end your day.
I guess so.
But I also just like the sharks are so ethereal and unpredictable and cool, and like some of those experiments we did were weird to problem solve, and they were you know, everything from coming up with a punching robot that Jamie came up with to put underwater to try to punch the different sharks, to we made a robot dog that would excrete different bodily fluids to try to attract sharks. I mean, and most scary is trying to find out if sharks were attracted to flashlights, where me, Tori, and Grant had to do two different experiments, one with no lights down underwater at night with sharks, and one with flashlights, which apparently they are attracted to, which is terrifying.
That is. You don't want them to be coming at you when you just got light underwater.
Oh, my God. I went through my air so quickly because I was kind of breathing like this. Like a turtle went past my head, and I screamed into my mask so loud.
Now, I wouldn't normally bring this up, but you bring it up in the book, so I guess it's fair game. You have been classified as, and I'll agree to it, a sexy TV host.
Mm-hmm.
Did you expect that when that label was thrust upon you, and how did you deal with that?
No. I mean, we were super reality, like dirty, sweaty, wearing overalls on the show kind of thing. So for this sort of like weird, nerdy sex appeal, I think was, I'm clearly uncomfortable with it.
Right.
you roll with it because it's something that was there, but it was strange to me. I think that what it was is I'm the girl next door for real, like an accessible girl.
Right.
So I think that my attraction was that I probably would work on your car with you, you know? Like,
yeah, I'm getting to the age where someone who can work on my car is probably the sexiest thing I can find.
I know. There is nothing hotter than somebody that can fix your plumbing.
Yes.
that sounded... Sorry.
No, it's fine.
You know, is one of my superpowers.
I think we caught what you meant.
I didn't mean it. That's the problem.
Crash Test Girl is the book. It's available on Amazon. You can get it through a link on themichaelmayershow.com. Carrie, I have to talk to you about, outside of being classified as nerd candy for people out there, you also became a role model, especially for women and kids and girls that were looking to get into STEM overall, and seeing somebody on a show that was predominantly driven by men, but you had a very vocal voice and drove some programs in their entirety, quite frankly, because I've been watching for years, and I'm sure everybody has.
You know, becoming a STEM advocate was a nice side effect as that happened. I got to do lots of science communication shows since then. I got to host the White House Science Fair. You know, I got a shout out from President Obama, was like, oh, there's a girl in the audience. She likes to blow things up. Carrie Byron. And I was just sitting there. I'm like, oh my God, the President of the United States just said my name. Mm-hmm. This is crazy. And since then, because of this new sort of role as a female and STEM advocate, I'm parlaying that into some interesting projects now. I just became the chief creative officer of a toy company, a startup toy company called Smart Girls. And we're making coding toys for girls, because that has become something that I've noticed a lot of people ask me about. How do I keep my kids interested in science? How do I keep my daughters interested in science? And I personally was not somebody who was a science person as a kid. And I learned to love science through Mythbusters, because I got to play and have fun with science. So that's why I started working with this toy company, because I'm trying to figure out if we can just inspire girls through play, maybe we can create like the leaders of the future.
It's so smart. It's
so cool.
It's the way to
so
do it. Cool. And because you were chasing your passion of sculpture, and they just sort of tricked you into learning science.
They tricked me.
And you know what? That's what you got to do with kids. You got to trick them into learning. Will you allow me one fanboy question I must ask?
I'll allow you all the ones you want.
Okay, thank you. Anything that you ever tried to do on Mythbusters that just went horribly wrong?
Like, did you watch the show? Like, everything?
No, but I mean, like, something that didn't even make it to air. I'm talking, like, total crash and burn.
I mean, yeah, there were a couple times where we got these myths that came down the line that were just stupid, that we were just, like, somebody wanted us to figure out if we could put a sword in a stone so that only one person could pull it out. I'm like...
Oh, like the King Arthur legend, yeah.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. We tried for a while to... There was a myth where a pumpkin, one of those large Monterey giant 300-pound pumpkins, could lift a car. It was called Squash Weightlifter. So we tried to grow a pumpkin underneath the car, but we all have, like, black thumbs and couldn't get a pumpkin, even with, like, these award-winning seeds. We couldn't get a pumpkin bigger than just, like, my fist to grow, because it was just crazy. So we ended up just chucking all of that footage. But things that would go wrong would be like, that were the worst for me, were generally things like, we had an entire fridge with the contents from an old myth. We tried to test cold feet, where the boys made me this banquet of like fish guts, live bugs, intestines, like all of the grossest things you can imagine. And I had to pick two things off the table and eat them. Consequently, I picked a grasshopper and a maggot, because they seemed like the cleanest things to eat.
Wow.
After the myth and we cleaned it all up, we'd stick it all in the fridge, and then somebody had unintentionally, I guess, unplugged the fridge over the weekend, and when we came back and opened the fridge to clean it out, everybody started retching because of the smell. Like that would happen all the time, where like you'd have to cure shark skin in your own urine, and then somebody would forget about it, and then all of a sudden you'd knock something over and everybody'd be like, oh, dude, we didn't clean up the sharks, and there's pee everywhere, and it's rotten. Like, for me, it was just odoriferous moments like that.
Yeah.
That were the worst.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, we see a lot of the disasters and stuff that happen, but the one thing that you could never get through television is smell. And I guess that's something that you will always keep for yourself, Carrie.
Well, luckily, you get to see all of my retching, because any time that I would start to vomit, they'd have a camera right on me. So maybe you can empathize the smell-o-vision.
I see your website here is carriebyron.com. Congratulations on the toy company, by the way. Can people find out more about the toy company and what you're starting on carriebyron.com?
Oh, yeah. There's Smart Girls on carriebyron.com. There's also a link to where you can find my book, so you can buy all the books you want. like Amazon, iBooks, Barnes & Noble. All the links are on there.
Oh, cool. Buy two. Thank you very much, Carrie Byron. Of all the people I've ever interviewed, you're the only person I've ever talked to that designed a nausea machine.
Thanks.
Thank you, Carrie Byron. The book is Crash Test Girl. We appreciate your time.
Oh, it was awesome. I love you guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Take care.
She loves us, guys. I love that. She's awesome. We're going to take a break. We come back. We will do, Oscarazzi.
Nice.
Ooh. Oh, I love the return of Oscarazzi. Oh, Red Hot Sizzles, baby. And we're back after this.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
You guys both will know this. Brands of gasoline.
I will start with Sunoco.
Texaco.
Iowa brand. Come and go.
And it's spelled like... It's,
yeah.
Sorry. That should be the highlight of the bonus show today.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Bonus.
Pony loves it when the promo is spelled out for him.
Yes.
Make this promo. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Amazon. Shop on Amazon. Everyone does it. But here's what we need you to do.
Yes.
We need you to click the Amazon button on our website. That's the way you can make sure that we get credit for your purchase.
Yeah, you'll see the item of the day right there.
It doesn't cost you anything, and it benefits us greatly. Today's Amazon purchase of the day, you just heard about it, Crash Test Girl.
Woo.
This is Carrie Byron's book. It's a deal at $14.93. They have it on Kindle, hardcover, audiobook, or audio CD. It's a great book, and by buying it, you support the show. So, thank you. Go to Amazon and spend money. Oh, I don't often get to play this anymore. It's like a throwback Friday thing. Doing the Oscarazzi thing. Sounds like spent some time in a bucket. It's a little feeble. Yeah.
That's the ESPN's doing the Dan Le Batard show in the other room.
Oh, so we're taking it down a notch.
I don't need my I to creep onto their broadcast.
I think that would be a good fit on like ESPN 5.
Though while technically it can't, psychologically I'm like, what if it did, right? I don't want them to know this is what we do in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like when you threw away my vuvuzela. We all know we're idiots. We don't need to emphasize it.
Well, we were in a mortgage firm at that point.
Yeah, yeah. They're trying to buy, sell, buy, sell.
Buy, sell. Well, you know what? It was about the numbers.
The numbers.
I only blew the horn when they closed a deal, to be fair.
Like right. You're ringing the bell in a sales pitch.
Exactly. All right. What you got?
Okay. Speaking of numbers, gentlemen, Star Wars is halting any production on spin-off movies, according to Lucasfilm.
Really? I thought that would be a Disney decision. Doesn't Disney own the property now?
Well, Disney owns Lucasfilm.
Oh, okay, under the umbrella of
Disney.
Yes. Okay.
Why would you want to stop making money? I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because they're putting all their focus into Star Wars Episode 9.
Okay.
Which arrives in Christmas 2019.
Right.
They're hitting pause because... As far as dollars for your ROI for the Star Wars movies,
yes.
Solo did not make as much money as they thought it would make.
Here is the theory behind that. If a movie sucks, people won't like it.
Oh. Yeah, but we're also in a weird world where a movie that sucks, which is not necessarily a failure, but a disappointment.
Yeah, and Solo, it was. And
right?
It was.
Has brought in $341.9 million in a global box office.
That's amazing that when you're cresting near $400 million,
yes.
And they're saying, that's a step back, guys.
Yeah. The film was the lowest grossing of the recent Lucasfilm features by a significant margin, trailing behind Rogue One,
okay,
which was great at the box office, but not... Like a standalone Star Wars, right?
No, it was not part of the original trilogy.
Rogue One, for comparison, made over $700 million.
Wow.
Right? Mm. So that's behind The Last Jedi, which made roughly $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And The Force Awakens, which made $1.7 billion.
I can't even imagine what Episode 4, Star Wars, the 1977 one, would be in adjusted dollars.
Oh, yes.
You know,
not
even in this ballpark. It's just you can't compare.
Yeah.
You have more theaters. The theaters are more expensive to go to.
Yeah. Better snacks.
And it's a global audience.
Yeah,
right?
That's
true. Think about the emerging markets that are now like powerhouses.
And they've built that.
Yes.
They've built those markets, and now it is an international property.
So, by the numbers... they're hitting pause and focusing on the next big hit, which would be episode 9, which hopefully will bring in $2 billion.
You know, that's actually good, because I had read not long ago they had like 9 in development, and I don't think anyone needs that much. There's something to keeping it special.
Well, you know, but then you look at the Marvel Universe, and they've got the same amount of films in development, and they're kicking ass every time they put something out.
Yeah, they have more stuff, though. They have more intellectual property that they draw can make on. New things
Yeah, but
from.
But the Star Wars universe it's massive.
It's
true.
These
standalone films with the standalone, that's what they're, it's the same playbook that Marvel has.
Yeah.
Right?
But Marvel hasn't had a step back, though. And I think that this the solo step back is having them reconsider.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
And they'll get there, though. I think they're going to saturate. I do.
Jerry Springer's show, speaking of pauses, halted after 4,000 episodes. I was watching it on the way in this morning before I headed out for the office.
Right.
And I said, I think the headline was I Do or I Do Not. It was it was like a teen couple that was either going to get married or not get married.
Yes.
And I sat there and I was like, yeah, I heard this thing's coming up to a close. Seems about right if I Do or I Do Not is your headline for the topic of the show.
Fizzling to a close.
Yes.
Limping to the finish line.
Mike mentioned it briefly earlier, but for context, Jerry has had a great run, right?
Oh, yeah.
Its heyday was in the 1990s. We're in 2018. The fact that it's still on and he's still cooking, that's pretty impressive.
I mean, yeah, I was shocked. It's one of those I was shocked it was still to hear it was still on when I found out it was canceled.
From impressive to damning, gentlemen, we've talked about Johnny Depp and his spending habits in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling Stone just published a new article. I read some excerpts yesterday and this morning about this. If you think the dollars are crazy that he spent on a daily and monthly basis, let me just give you a quick reminder here, right?
Yeah.
The dollars for security monthly are roughly $150,000.
That's just for security?
He's looking anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000 a month in wine. He's being sued by one of his old business partners
and
managers, and vice versa. They're suing each other. Mm-hmm. He has spent $3 million to shoot Hunter S. Thompson's ashes out of a cannon.
Space?
Not even to space. He just out of a cannon. $3 million.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the center ring, the greatest show on earth.
He has a yacht that he pays for,
yes,
a monthly maintenance on, and that's in the millions of dollars. They're looking at the homes that he has, and he at one point had roughly 21 different homes in different areas. Some may say that's an investment. Who knows?
Maybe it's me, but that seems high.
A little bit. Nice.
They all seem high, right? And
all of this just on Gilbert Grape money. Great film.
Depp also spent $7,000 on Kim Kardashian's used furniture.
Gross. And $2.5 million on dry cleaning it.
Going to get it from a vending machine.
Again. The guy.
Shout out to Tokyo.
The guy who's going through all of this, he's still a megastar. But this is what really blew my mind. And I know we have a short time, but think about this.
Okay.
He has his own AV guy that travels with him on set. And the AV guy, apparently, he said he uses his AV guy for effect. So when he's reading his lines, he will have a baby crying in his IFB in his monitor.
Oh,
or he'll
no.
have explosions for something that really is something, a meaningful moment. And he contends that the emotion can be seen through the eyes and the actual sound effects help him. What some people contend on set and some people have tried to confirm is that he's getting the lines fed to him.
That's what Marlon Brando
so
did.
So he doesn't have to read or remember the script.
Do you remember
so
the movie?
He's got this IFB in his ear, which is, and he's got somebody reading him, like mouthing, telling him the lines
and
in his ear.
It's his own guy.
His own guy.
Yeah.
Not the movie.
Do you know the movie The Freshman? It was Matthew Broderick and Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
Brando did not memorize a single line for that movie. And if you look closely, it looks like he's wearing a hearing aid, but it's how he's getting his lines. So Brando did that, but this is some crazy stuff. If you're paying this guy, that's like Elvis stuff.
Right?
Elvis used to travel with a jeweler in case, this is true, in case in the middle of the night he wanted to buy jewelry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
So if he's spending $150,000 on security and roughly $50,000 on the low end on wine,
yeah,
the idea that you would double down, and I kind of respect this.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not going to skimp on what's making me my money.
I suppose.
I don't have the time between all these drinking and yachting to read the script or remember the lines, but I will show up and I will deliver.
And he does. Yeah. He's made a lot of great films. And also, I just saw this, he pays $55 a week in parking. It can't last, Johnny. It cannot last.
We'll find out.
We have an audio vault for you coming up as the world's longest radio show continues. It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Political Persuasion.
Hey, it's Fritz. This week on Political Persuasions, Mike and I talk about the Trump administration's policy of separating immigrants crossing the border illegally from their children. There's a ray of light in local journalism.
Think he likes when we talk over the promo?
You get some of my outtakes.
I got an email.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Hey, man. What are you doing?
Why are you talking over the promo?
Man.
Listen to Political Persuasions, please.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Look, it's not your wonky talk show.
No, it's not.
It's Mike talking about politics, Freights correcting him, and...
Mike exploding and then Freights talking him down.
Yes, and then once in a while, Mike will come up with a new impression, which is funny.
Oh, it's great. It's a good show. Check it out.
Solid.
All right. It's birthday season. Speaking of Mike O'Mara...
I actually texted Mike. I said, happy birthday, Radio's Mike O'Mara.
And?
Let me give you my response to me.
Yes.
Nothing.
Ah.
Oh.
I told him, happy birthday, dear.
Oh.
And it's almost the 4th of July.
Gross.
Yes, America is celebrating a birthday, and you can celebrate too with the TMRS bonus package. Declare your independence from boredom with a weekly uncensored commercial-free 6 hour of TMRS fun. Each and every week, we light the comedy fuse and fill your senses with multicolored explosions of hilarity and big booms of bombastic joy. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and you'll not blow your fingers off. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary to laugh, sign up for the TMOS bonus show. Thomas Jefferson called it witty. John Adams called it delightfully ribald. And Ben Franklin said it was as funny as a hat full of a-holes. Good old Ben. Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com and click the bonus banner, and it makes a great gift. So spread some cheer, bonus show style. Get happy by giving back. So please quit sucking, and God bless America. Today's audio vault for 22 June. Is it 22?
22 June.
22 June 2018. I got a miracle today when Oscar came in and said, guess what? Now I like Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah, he rules.
James Corden last night did Carpool Karaoke, which I used to think was like a 4 or 5 minute bit. Now it's the length of a sitcom. Now it's 25 minutes long.
Know this, that my beef with Paul McCartney is not because of his music or my lack of Beatles knowledge or my infatuation with the Monkees.
Right.
It's because he... broke up with Peg Leg.
Right.
And left her in the lurch.
Yeah, well, she was not...
I don't know the story. I mean, it's tough to like get past of him being so sweet and nice when you leave a woman with one leg.
That's right. Well, she tried to follow him. Didn't work out. Anyway, James Corden last night did Carpool Karaoke with Paul McCartney. It was, for me, it was fantastic.
It was very cool.
I was able to overlook my hatred for James Corden. He performed in a car. They drove around Liverpool. They walked into a barber shop that was not expecting them.
I am a fan.
And here are some of the music they performed last night. Pretty great stuff.
Let's go! Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star.
Whoa!
Baby, you can drive my car. Baby, I love you. Beep, 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 yeah. Penny Lane is in my ears and in my eyes. Let it be, let it be, let it be.
And Paul also told some of the backstories of the songs that he wrote. It's great. I mean, obviously, he's been at this for over 50 years. He knows how to do media. He knows how to do television. But it was really, really fantastic. I recommend you take a look at it. Also, big cereal news yesterday. First of all, would you think that Mr. T had a Twitter account?
No.
He does, and he's active, and he went...
He pities the fool.
Mr. T went on Twitter yesterday trolling Quaker Oats to bring back Mr. T cereal, as heard in this classic commercial.
I know Kuhn, and Kuhn's teaming up with a good balanced breakfast.
Teaming up with Mr. T cereal, that's getting on the team that knows how cool breakfast can be. You get a crispy corn taste with a touch of brown sugar. Teaming up with Mr. T.
It's cool.
Teaming up with Mr. T, golden sweet crispy cheese.
It's
one
cool.
Bite and you're gonna be eating with the team that's teaming up with Mr. T.
It's cool.
Teaming up with Mr. T.
Well, I think that it's nice to know that breakfast is cool, but when I hear of Mr. T cereal, all I can think of is Pee-wee and Pee-wee's Big Adventure eating breakfast.
Good morning, Pee-wee. Good morning, Mr. Breakfast. Can I have that Mr. T cereal? Okay. I pity the poor fool. Don't eat my cereal.
And remember, Mr. T cereal, every piece of cereal is shaped like a T.
You know,
I get it.
Yeah, you do. It's cool.
The idea that Mr. T is still cool,
yeah,
like that warms my heart.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Clubber Lang.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's close with this. Yesterday, the AFI Lifetime Achievement Award was awarded to George Clooney, and there are very few people that I think are really sort of just a unifying piece of fandom. Everyone loves George Clooney.
And he's the same guy, when you hear this clip, if I'm correct, right? It's him talking to...
No, I didn't pull that clip.
Okay, it's her?
No, this is Bill Murray. Have you seen this?
No.
We'll close with this. This is the AFI Lifetime Achievement Award awarded to George Clooney, one of the people speaking on Clooney's behalf.
I haven't heard this.
Bill Murray.
It happened to all of us, I'm sure, when we realized that the Lifetime Achievement Award was being given to a 56-year-old man. I know that all of you thought the same thing that I thought. George is dying. It's fatal. We don't know what it is, but it's going very quick. It's progressing very quickly. The man you see here now is not the man who walked in here 1 hour ago. So this isn't really a Lifetime Achievement Award. It's a celebration of life.
Pretty gutsy and pretty funny.
That was hilarious. Better when I was when is it Amal, his wife?
Yeah,
right. Uh-huh. She talks and she's beautiful and she's
gorgeous,
perfect
and smart. Yeah,
but when George talks about his wife and thanks everybody, you forget that he is the same person. It seems, at least, off camera than he is on camera.
Yes.
Because the way he's talking is like a scene out of like a Michael Crichton film, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, how do you take this guy serious?
It's hard to. It's hard
seriously,
to believe
like,
that he...
How do you take him seriously? How do you... Like, if I was sitting in my house and the guy was like, what would you like for breakfast?
Yeah.
I'm like, like, it's always movie... Like,
you're
it's always
waiting,
a movie voice.
You're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yes.
Yeah, and just think, he got started on The Facts of Life. What a great career.
Or you're looking for, like, a dildo machine in the basement.
Oh. Or a Kim Kardashian used furniture vending machine. Exact change, please. That's your magic audio bowl. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Burn after reading.
Yeah. That's it, folks.
Nothing.
Thank you. That's pretty good. Yeah. Thanks for joining us today for another episode of TMOS. Happy birthday, Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mike will be back on Monday, so check that out. Please, ice cream update.
Oh, yeah.
We'll hear all about it. So please remember to grab our new TMOS Playapod app today and unlock the 24/7 live stream. All messages for the weekly mailbag can be sent to me, Rob, with two B's, at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Our mailing address is TMOS, Post Office Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Please send us things. Thank you for listening and join us again on Monday for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
It's cool.
It's cool.
Transportation for the Mike O'Mara Show provided by DTS Worldwide Transportation, serving Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and worldwide. The leader in luxury chauffeured transportation since 1990. Call them at 800-914-2855.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.